passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome you back. We have reached the second hour of the program. By now, you've heard about what's happening down in Florida with the state attorney general, the senators, the governors. Remember, Tallahassee is the home of Florida State. It's also the home of the state government. So is this home cooking? We don't really know. So we'll find out. Chatting with Matt Baker, who covers the college football scene, including the Gators. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Matt, thanks for being here. Just take us through what's happening from all the leaders of your state, and what does it all mean, if anything?
Thanks for having me. It's absurd is what it is. I'll put it this way. The NCAA volleyball Final Four is here in Tampa. And my day started, I was in the car with my kid, taking him to the school bus, and I'm on the phone with a U.S. senator. Then I'm at the arena getting ready for volleyball press conferences, talking with an antitrust lawyer. I mean, that's just the way things are. I mean, the actual news is the state attorney general has opened an antitrust investigation into the college football playoff and whether there were some shenanigans. I'm pretty sure whether you personally were involved in the selection of Alabama over Florida State, Paul, because you pulled the strings. So they're kind of looking into that, and the senators are upset. The governor has set aside $1 million for potential litigation, if that's from the state, from Florida State University, regarding this as well. There's a lot going on, and it's kind of wild to me that here we are a week and a half later. And just to be clear, I put Florida State ahead of Alabama on my AP Top 25 ballot. I don't think it's crazy that they win Alabama over Florida State, but it is just crazy to me that a week and a half later, this stuff is still going on, and I have been assured by important people that it's not going away.
Well, Matt, I'll keep my own opinion out of this because I think everyone knows what it is. So for the sake of sanity and maybe a modicum of objectivity, can you give us the other side of it? Because talking to an antitrust attorney is valuable, and I'm sure the individual explained a little bit about what they are trying to accomplish versus what the law actually states.
So the argument is that if you accept the idea that this does not pass the smell test, that there might be some nefarious shenanigans, shady stuff going on here, if you accept that argument, then in order to know whether this was all above board, you need more information. You don't have enough information right now to know one way or the other. So the idea is that the state of Florida can ask for these records from the college football playoffs, whether the SEC, whether ESPN, whether the ACC, if any of these people were talking with the playoff committee during, before, after the deliberations, which then in theory, if they were putting their hand on the scale, right? If there was some sort of shenanigans going on where the SEC or ESPN or the ACC said, do it this way, and that influenced the decision, that's where you would go into potential antitrust thing. If it wasn't about what it was supposed to be, which was who was the best team, if there were other factors at play, financial, horse trading, whatever they may be, that's where it gets into a potential antitrust violation. So that's the whole thing is, you know, people can say whatever they want, but I think right now the Attorney General and you know, U.S. Senator Rick Scott and some other people want to see what's the information here? How can we get more transparency here to see what happened and why? Because a lot of them don't accept the playoff explanation on its own merit. I'm not saying I do, but that's the thing is they want more information.
I'm a little confused about one aspect of the antitrust claim because if they are coming after ESPN, which is fine with, they can do whatever they want, the idea that they would be favoring the Alabama over Florida State, which is a member of the ACC, which also has an exclusive arrangement, as everyone knows, with ESPN. Until the end of this calendar year, the SEC does not. The SEC has a relationship with ESPN and CBS. The ACC is all ESPN, and I really don't understand how they could make that stick.
Yeah, the argument would be that ESPN, that Alabama, they're the juggernaut, right? They're the literal elephant in the room here. And they are know, them and Ohio State are usually kind of first and second or in that area in terms of TV viewership. Now, some of it's the conferences, some of it's the teams they're playing and what have you. But Alabama's the argument is that Alabama is a bigger draw for the casual sports fan in Tampa, Topeka, Tulsa, wherever it is, in a way that Florida State is not. So therefore, ESPN might in theory be able to sell more ads or get more for ads with Alabama in the field rather than Florida State. Because you're exactly right. The way the media landscape is, ESPN has a lot of partners in here, including the SEC and the ACC. So I guess the other argument, too, is that ESPN has invested more in the SEC and its long-term growth and what have you. So in theory, it might behoove ESPN to do more to try to help the SEC than the ACC. Again, that's just some of the arguments there.
What they're going to end up proving is what we already know, that the SEC is more successful. They both have conference networks. I don't need to tell anyone whether the SEC network or the ACC network has more viewers. It just seems like a lost leader in the sense that they're going to prove what everybody already knows, that whether there was collusion or not, and that the ACC is inferior to the SEC. Do you really want to prove that in court?
Well, the argument wouldn't be that one conference is superior to the other. The argument would be that the SEC or ESPN, or in theory the ACC, one of them was doing something nefarious, right? Okay. Here, something beyond the argument.
I know I'm pushing you to answer things that Madam Attorney General should be answering. She's welcome to call in, because I sincerely believe she's probably heard of this network, since in her own admission, the very first thing she told us, I'm a Gator fan.
A Gator.
Mm-hmm. And let me stop there, because I want to go back to that. If you're trying to be, if you're trying to follow the law, which I always hear Attorney General say, is that the best thing to start with? I'm a Gator fan, but.
I mean, it's the point that even this, I don't have a personal stake in this, is the point. It's not like she's a diehard Florida State fan.
Why don't you leave that part out?
Because it's trying to make a point that this goes beyond the issue of fan allegiance. This is a point of fairness. And again, I'm not defending that. I'm making their point, just to be 1,000% clear, because I don't need people yelling at me. I got enough issues.
No, let's drag you into it.
No, please do.
But Matt, how is it playing in the state of Florida?
Well, my inbox is consistently full. I've stopped checking my Twitter mentions. Among the most read stories on our site, TampaBay.com, for the last week and a half has been Florida State stuff. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Number four story on our website is more Florida State stuff right now, the second. So it's red meat, and that's, if I can be cynical for just a second, I know cynical with politics is very odd, but hear me out. If I can be cynical for just one moment, somebody might look at this situation and say, you know what, this is just politicians grandstanding, trying to make a point, just trying to score political points. Like, that's the, I don't know that a politician has ever done such a thing, Paul. But in theory, that's something that could be at play here too, as well, because there's not much.
I'll make it easy for you, Matt. This isn't just a politician. This is a craven politician trying to satisfy her fan base, and I know her history, and so does everybody in your state. So I think it's pretty obvious what she's done in the past, and the fact that she doesn't care about this any more than any other Florida fan. They're just trying to please the masses, because this is a popular issue. That's understood. I'm just trying to figure out where she's going to find relief in the law, and how is she going to get these records, assuming they even exist.
Yeah. So this it's called a CID. It's a civil investigative demand. It's essentially a civil subpoena. And I was talking with antitrust lawyers about it today. It does have some teeth, where if the playoff said, no, we're not giving you anything, then in theory, they could go to court and be held in contempt of court for not providing these documents. So now the most likely scenario.
And Matt, at some point, wouldn't they have to prove something other than just throw stuff against the wall?
Yes, correct. It's not, this is in, This is in the first inning, is what one of the attorneys, not involved in this case, but another attorney explained it to me. This is in the, we think there might be some shenanigans. We need some evidence to see whether this was above board or whether this was
not. But as
not.
Of this
so
hour,
this is in the
they
very
really
first
don't have any evidence in their possession, do they?
No, and as you said, there might not be evidence. They're asking for emails and text messages and what have you from the SEC and ESPN to the playoff, and those might not exist. Like, I would be shocked if Greg Sankey was texting Boo Corrigan,
no, of course not.
The selection committee chairperson. Hey, Boo, it's me, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. Please remember, put Alabama in, otherwise we will be very upset. Love, Greg. Like, now, again, there might be some smoking guns, but there's no evidence to that that I have seen as of this moment, and it might very well not exist.
Well, we'll stay tuned. I'm all for seeking out justice when it deserves seeking out.
We'll see. It's keeping things busy. I wish I could just focus on recruiting and what have you, but and maybe we'll get there eventually. Maybe I'll be able to catch my breath.
We're not there yet. We are 12 minutes into this conversation, and I haven't asked you about the state of the Florida program under Billy Napier. It just shows you how crazy this story is.
Yeah, well, the state of the program at Florida is not the best, by the way, to answer your not question.
And I don't need a subpoena to know that. I just need to
me neither.
Have two working eyes.
Yeah, I don't need one either. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens on signing day. You know, their class was number 3 in the nation at one point. Now it's down to 5, and we'll see if they're able to hold it together. Because if they do, that's definitely some positive momentum and some signs of optimism that maybe this can work out. But if not, and they can't stick to that, then it's going to be tough sledding.
And we are, under 4 hours or 3 hours away from seeing Florida's schedule next year. They've already seen it. You may have or not. It's a doozy. Let me put it that way, Matt. And we already know who's on the schedule, but just the order that it's in will be fascinating for every Florida fan. Matt, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks very much for joining us. Our legal expert, Matt Baker, on antitrust matters. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Trying to wait for the drum beat to go off so I can be heard.
You may
ready?
Be. Go ahead.
All right, well, here's what I got. This, you know, a lot of things that really get under my skin, and this is one of them. Could this not be considered governmental, state government overreach with the Florida people, Attorney General, trying to do that crap? That burns me up. Couldn't that be considered an overreach?
Well, yeah, but I mean, right now, she really hasn't done anything. Now, if she goes to court and tries to get injunctions, and then we're talking. I mean, at the moment, it's really just a bunch of hot air, and I don't think it's going to change.
Well, here's another point that I think is even more major in the same vein. It's a bully tactic. You agree with that, don't you?
I do.
Bullying tactic. What?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what burns me up about it, because any state-speaking government, or even how about our national government doing all this crap they're doing, This is a similar thing. They all look monkey see, monkey do. Isn't that what
it is? It's selective prosecution.
Huh? Say that again.
It's selective prosecution.
Well, absolutely. And we're talking about how many times have we, have other people been snubbed? Alabama, all of us. You know what I mean? Me, I'm like, I can't even hardly think about it. It makes me so mad. But I want to go back to something that started on the first of the show where I didn't tune in until about 45 minutes to hear it. And this guy from Georgia wants an apology. He wants an apology for somebody on your show calling, you know, somebody disrespecting him. How many times has Darryl disrespected Alabama vehemently? That St. Paul, that burns me up, does it not, you?
Yeah.
And I wish you'd get back to the old self. Why didn't you get in his face and say, what do you mean, man? What do you mean? Why are you, what a crazy remark. That's how I view that guy at the first of the show, wanting an apology.
We don't hand out apologies like that.
Well, that's just ridiculous, and you know it's ridiculous. I mean, how can I put it? The pot calling the kettle black?
Right.
Is that one way of putting it?
That's a great way of putting it.
Well, I mean, I've vented. I wanted to vent because both those items burned me up when I heard them. I just can't stand that kind of hypocrisy and BS. That's all it is. I'm sorry. You know, I just, well, that, you know me, what, I got
caught up the other day in this thing with FSU, and I just said it is fake outrage. And the attorney general is proving my point. So is DeSantis. So
exactly.
Is everybody else down there.
Exactly. But you didn't get caught up, quote, caught up. You didn't get caught up. You know what I mean? You just got involved.
Hey,
you didn't get
hey,
caught
Jim,
up.
What do you think is a bigger outrage? The Florida State being denied, being disallowed from being in the playoffs because they chose somebody else, or the 1966 Alabama team that was undefeated?
Oh, golly.
How about that?
Well, you think Alabama? How about the state? How about George Wallace getting on that case? Wasn't he the governor then?
He sure was.
I'd love it. But see, he was smart enough. He knew that was none of his business. Just like that's none of their business at Florida State. I mean, the governor, the attorney general of Florida, trying to get in the business. This is, you talking about busybody. Why don't she do some work and get the Ron DeSantis?
Can you imagine how many people in that state right now need the attention of the attorney general to fight their battles that are either on the street or being manipulated or have lost their job, they've lost their business, that have lost their entire savings, but the attorney general is spending taxpayer money on trying to be Don Quixote and tilt at windmills and try to do the impossible dream.
Excellent point. Excellent point. I'll give you credit.
Well, thank you, Jim.
I'm Wes. Thank you.
We will continue this. Billy in Philly is up next.
Hi, Paul. It's too simple, but this is my sense about the long-range solution to this problem. The ACC has a lot of very, very wealthy schools, very connected and very long traditions. How about you build the product up just the way the Big Ten did, just the way the SEC did? Improve your own value by doing what you're supposed to do well. It'll take a while, but that's really the best course they have.
Well, I think you're right, Billy. I'll say something that I really believe in. The ACC has some phenomenal schools in it. It also has some dead weight. And but when you look at the ACC and who is a good member and who isn't, it's pretty obvious who the recalcitrant member is, and that's FSU. They're always stomping their feet. They're always threatening. They're always doing something. Clemson has a bigger gripe overall than FSU because it's accomplished a great deal more. But mm-hmm. FSU is always the miscreant in the back of the room, throwing spitballs at the teacher when he turns his back. And I wouldn't feel so badly. I would feel badly maybe if they didn't blow off an SEC invitation 25 years ago. They could have been in this league. They could have been here 30 years ago in 1990. But they didn't want to deal with the SEC then. A couple of months ago, they didn't want to deal with their own league. And, you know, I think it's really interesting how few people are really standing up for them. Yeah, you get the idle just patronizing line from a coach here and there. And that's fine, because a lot of people genuinely believe they should have been in. That's fine. I don't have – that's just part of the conversation. But to go through this hypocrisy of threatening, I mean, there's nothing. Do you think these people in that room are stupid? They will not even allow their votes to be recorded. How many times have you heard me ask about that? I guarantee you they're not leaving a paper trail. They own a shredder. You can go to Best Buy and for $20 buy a shredder. I mean, how stupid does this woman in Florida think we are that there's going to be anything left over?
It's pretty pathetic. I agree. I'm just saying, look, North Carolina State, Virginia, you're talking about rich,
oh my goodness,
rich
schools. I mean, those are schools, North Carolina, Duke, Virginia. I mean, yeah. Miami's a good school. I mean, we're talking about outstanding academic institutions. Now you have Stanford. Anybody mm-hmm. would be proud to go to one of these schools. But, I mean, at some point, this lady down in Florida is really making she has made a fool out of herself.
Yeah, I think she's marginal. She's a nut. But, seriously, they got to do what everybody else does, get good.
Yeah, that's all
you
have to
do. If you get good, you get the audience.
And good. Hey, by the way, congratulations. FSU was a laughingstock 5 years ago, and they're in the conversation again. That's progress. They were on the verge of firing Norvell 3 years ago, and I think he's an outstanding coach. I like the guy.
I think he's done a good job this year. Yeah, I'm not
instead,
not good at all.
But here's the problem. It's like UCF in 2017. Instead of celebrating the accomplishment, you end up ticking off the entire world, where you're really nothing more than a punchline, and you know, get ready to go play Georgia. That's all you have to do. Go beat Georgia and then claim a national championship. But you haven't won anything yet, other than the ACC.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, I guess my feelings are known, aren't they? We will be back after.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back. Bill Curry will join us in 90 minutes. Always great to talk to the former coach, legendary player at Georgia Tech, and he also played for the Packers under Vince Lombardi. Larry is up next. Good afternoon.
What's up, Bob? What you been doing? Yeah, brother. Hey, what did you call me earlier?
I must confess, I don't remember.
Well, you're talking about a fan. You're talking about me calling in or something. I don't remember. It was a name. You always use them big names. You know, I don't know nothing about them. You know, they ain't got no damn dictionary.
Larry, what is the biggest word you know?
Aphrodisiac.
That's a good one. Aphrodisiac.
No, no, I like taking it when I find me a woman.
When was the last time you took an aphrodisiac?
Last time I was with a woman.
And what did you take?
Viagra.
Viagra?
Yeah, that's an aphrodisiac.
Well, an aphrodisiac is not exactly a prescription drug. It's a gray area.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. It done the job for me, brother.
Okay, well, I'm glad you told me that, because that way I didn't have to ask directly.
Yeah, if you want to get into this, now we're going to go, boy. They'll have them women paying attention. So, they'll be calling in right and left for me.
So you went to, I guess you went to Costco and bought a jug.
Yeah, AJ will be criticizing me, of course.
Hey, Larry, it is a perfectly normal thing to do.
Yeah, when it first come out, man, I didn't understand it.
Right.
And what I did, I took it too soon.
Right.
Oh, and so I called to make sure it was okay to come
what
over.
What do you mean you took it too soon?
And she canceled. So then I had to go get baby oil and Bengay. Damn.
Bengay? Now, Bengay could be considered an aphrodisiac as long as it doesn't burn.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
For some reason, I would expect to see Bengay in a locker room than in a bedroom.
Yeah. Well.
Well, Larry, what do you mean? I have to ask you this. What do you mean you took it too early? What do you mean you took it too early? Because I've seen the commercial and it says, you know,
well,
it could last up to 4 hours.
45 minutes prior to activity.
Right.
So I took it too soon.
When did you
and
take
so
it?
So what happens if something happened really, really good, if I'd have been, you know, there.
Well, Larry, it would have helped if you had, like, somebody with you when you took it.
Yeah, yeah. See.
You just can't take it on the
woman,
assumption.
You take it. Yeah, but see, here I am on a payphone, and it's all happening, and it's embarrassing.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I would think so. If you're, it would be more embarrassing if you weren't in a payphone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming there was something else you wanted to talk about other than aphrodisiacs.
Yeah, I got a damn preliminary doctor I got to go to, man. I got a chest infection. I can't breathe at night, Paul Feinbaum, but I'm going to tell you something, man. I watch this show every day and listen. Okay. Let me tell you something. I love all the callers. I do, man. I listen to them. But I'm going to tell you, I listen to this show even if I'm in the freaking ER. I'm dedicated to you and this show and your crew because I love what you do. And I've been keeping up with Clute, and I want to ask you a question. Stan is coming. He's enrolled at Alabama, that quarterback.
Right.
Now, what are they going to do with Milrow and Stan?
Well, Stan has not signed yet. He will next week.
I heard he has. I heard he's enrolled.
Well, yeah,
I keep up with
Clute. You can't enroll until one semester ends. I mean, I guess the semester has ended, hasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Well, the semester could be over for all I know.
Let me tell you something. I think we're going to win the championship.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you a question right now. Who do you think is going to win the other game between Texas and Washington?
Well, you know I'm an SEC guy, Larry, so I'm picking Texas.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going to say something. That coach for LSU is a disgrace to being a coach.
Why is he a disgrace?
He got on TV and said that number 15, I'm not good with names. Number 15 hit his quarterback intentional. So that means Saban would have to have something to do with it. And I didn't appreciate that comment, and he needs to back up on that. I don't think nobody goes out there with the intent of knocking nobody out, except me. I would. I'd knock him out. I'd put him out. Bam! Just like I put Daryl out. Bam!
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you and Daryl, that would be quite a deal. Well, Larry, I'd get you the pulmonary doctor. I don't want to be. I don't want you to be late.
Marine against the Navy, baby. Yeah, you know why I got in the Navy? To ride the waves. Catch on? Yeah. Hell no, you don't catch on. No, anyways, my man. Yeah,
whatever you do this weekend, do not OD on that medicine you were telling me about.
Hey, yeah, I know, man. Harder than Chinese arithmetic.
Thank you, Larry. Somebody asked me, how was the show? Well, we had a conversation about aphrodisiacs. Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul. I'm kind of confused here a little bit still. I just got out of the hospital a couple of days ago after I had to have my heart shocked about a week ago, and then I had a pretty major stroke. So, I've been trying to pay attention. I've lost about 5 or 6 days here. Trying to remember things, but I guess my question that I'm trying to ask you today is how come people aren't as upset with Texas as they are Alabama getting in? I mean, what? And I know they couldn't because Texas beat Alabama, but
let me try to explain, Trey, because what's going on here is a false narrative. What I mean by that is it just became a story, and people that have no earthly idea about the facts of the case gravitated to it because they've heard it on every show imaginable, from their favorite morning show to their favorite TV show. Their neighbors are talking about it. Nobody can really explain it. And the world right now believes that Florida State was completely screwed over, and they let a team in that didn't deserve to be in because they did not have the same record as Florida State. And you know the truth, and we all know the truth, but that's how narrative, that's how fake narratives are created, and as a result of that, we have a lot of completely fake outrage in this country right now about this issue.
But shouldn't, if you're gonna create that outrage,
well,
towards Alabama, shouldn't it be directed towards Texas also?
It's not as simple, because Texas has a loss that nobody's ever mentioned. It wasn't even that great of a loss.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I guess.
But that's not the way the media works. Hey, Trey, do me a favor. Take care of yourself. Don't stress. Hopefully we can talk tomorrow and you'll be feeling better. We're up against the break. We have more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here on a Wednesday afternoon. How about Clarence in Florida? Hello, Clarence.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to see what, so I know it's, first of all, I wanted to shout out to Jane Daniels. I was an LSU fan, great win on the Heisman this year. Sure. But looking forward to next year, wanted to, everybody's throwing out names, Dylan Gabriel, Jackson Dart, Jaden Milrow. But I wanted to throw out a name that some people might not be thinking of, you know, especially if the team improves like they should. Graham Mertz. I mean, he had a really solid season last year, and if he can get some good pieces around him this year, I think he's a candidate a lot of people haven't thought of.
Yeah, I think the issue for Graham is what kind of team is Florida going to be? He's capable of being in that conversation, and what's that? And the schedule, which we're going to learn more about tonight, but we already know a lot about it. Florida State, Miami, non-conference, UCF. I mean, none of those games are automatic. You could literally see the Gators struggle in three of their four non-conference games on top of Georgia, Kentucky, two teams that beat them this year. LSU, another team that beat them. Ole Miss, a team that very likely will be a toss-up. Tennessee, a team that will likely beat them. A&M. I mean, that is an absolutely brutal schedule. And there's one more thing I think we'll learn tonight, because we are now 2 hours away from the reveal, and I'm trying to get a. If you give me a second, I'm going to check my notes here, because I've had a. The Florida schedule, in full context, it just ends. It's going to be an absolutely brutal end. And so if Billy Napier is going to get wins, he has to get them early, or the end could be absolutely fatal for him. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's check out Randall.
Or the end could be absolutely
Hey, you there, Paul?
I am. Thank you.
Oh, okay. You didn't have any ball games last weekend except for Army Navy, and that was entertaining, especially at the end. But
yeah, it really was.
I'm an Alabama fan, I'm a graduate, and so I used the time that I would usually be watching our ball game to reflect on the season. And I got mired down. I mean, the first three games of the year, we were sprinting toward the rear, and then just turned on a dime. That South Florida game is like a hallucination. And what, in the short time, 48 hours, I remember on Monday that Coach Saban had a press conference and named Jalen Milrow QB1 for the duration.
Right.
And also, during that time, they also had a players-only meeting you never hear anything about anymore. You care to engage in conjecture, speculation?
It's funny you say that, because I remember talking to one of our analysts here about the players-only meeting, and they, one of them said those are usually not positive things. I think it was Cole Kubrick. It could have been somebody else. It turned out to be a very positive thing. Almost everyone got that wrong, and I mean all the critics, including myself, in trying to analyze that moment in time. The only person that didn't get it wrong was Nick Saban. Thank you very, very much for the call. Wendy is in Ohio. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? I'm wondering what you think who's going to win, Michigan or Alabama. I personally think Alabama, because Nick Saban has probably got some tricks up his sleeve.
Yeah, I bet he does. Michigan's a favorite.
And, you know, I have to wish everybody happy holidays and 2024, the best to everybody. And how about Chris Holtman's team being the Alabama men's basketball team on the hard court, and then Purdue doing the same thing?
Yeah, Alabama's playing a very difficult non-conference schedule. They have Creighton this Saturday night. I mean, they are being tested severely. They were in good shape early in that game against Purdue, and then they finally just got eaten up by probably the best player in the country. Thank you very, very much for the call. Elliot is in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul, I loved your guest yesterday, the gambling guy, Billy.
Walters.
Not sure last, you know how I am with names. But I just wonder what your thoughts are on this Alabama-Michigan game as well. I was not impressed, because here's what I do when I'm going to gamble. which I do just a little bit on the side, I rewatched the Bama and Georgia game, and Georgia was kind of lackluster for three quarters. They really didn't come to life till the end. And I think Michigan has a really good chance of taking down Bama. And when I first thought about this,
my interpretation of Billy Walters was he likes Michigan in the game. He didn't pick it, but he did. And I thought that was very interesting, considering he is considered the world's greatest gambler on football.
I've got a tip for tonight as well. If you're gambling, UNLV against Creighton, take UNLV right now. It's a good payout, like 3-1. You're going to get paid out on that one. I think UNLV's got this. And I also have odds that tonight, when they talk about the SEC schedule, lots of non-conference teams being dropped off the schedule, Paul. Lots.
Yeah, I don't even know what bowl game he was talking about, but thanks for checking in, LA. Next time you want to give picks on the game, why don't you send us a check, okay? We will take a short break here. We have 2 hours to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.